Welcome to another episode of Refill by YBGG. And thank you for joining us once again. I'm your host, Danielle Smith, the Globe Coach. This is the home of all things personal development, authentic conversations, audio blogs, and tangible advice to expedite your journey. Steep some chai tea or grab some Hennessy. It's time to refill your cup.
Okay, today we are joined by Sasha. She is the owner and CEO of FOC, which stands for Flaws of Couture. She is a plus-size model and influencer. Amongst that, she is also an advocate for body positivity and mental health, the Jamaican background, and she's also Canadian-based like myself. So thank you for joining us today, Sasha.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Of course. So can you tell us in your own words a little bit about yourself, what you do and what you stand for?
Okay. So my name is Sasha, Sasha Gay, but you can call me Sasha. And you know what? I'm going to be really straight up and honest with you. The reason why I have in my bios everywhere, I'm a lot of things to a lot of people mm-hmm. is because I kind of am exactly that. So I'm mostly known for being a self-love advocate, a body positive type role model for a lot of women. A huge part of the plus size community really resonates with the content that I put out, but really it is for all women because I feel like we definitely struggle with self-love and how we see ourselves, especially in today's day and age. But I'm also an entrepreneur. I love to dibble dabble in anything that I like to create. So I am a content creator also. And I just enjoy helping people who are known to be the underdogs. You know, there's a lot of us who, you know, we didn't grow up with all of the resources that many others did. And we've been through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can kind of think that because of that, we're not able to get to where we want to go, or the dreams and goals that we once had when we were children are not able to be fulfilled. But I try my very best to be a living example of the fact that you can go after anything. So I'm a little bit of everything to everybody.
I love that. Can you tell us a little bit more about your brand, Flaws of Couture?
Yes.
What inspired it? What are you guys up to right now?
Okay, so Flaws of Couture is my clothing brand. And right now we are currently transitioning what used to be, I would say, a cheeky plus size type streetwear brand into a brand that collaborates and pushes other Black designers that may not have the audience or the numbers when it comes to social media and the reach that I do. So we're kind of pivoting and creating more of a hub for capsule collections in collaboration with designers that I know are absolutely outstanding. We just had a collaboration with Shauna Karasi. She is a Toronto native and Jamaican, of Jamaican descent also. And we sold out of that collection. And so right now we're getting into the next collection that we are collaborating with a designer for. So keep your eyes glued to shopfoc.com because it's on its way.
Awesome. So I resonate with the part of your message where you say that you advocate for the underdogs heavily. That was a title I feel like I don't identify with it as much. I feel like there's power in words. Mm-hmm. But for a long time, I definitely identified with that. And I resonate with the part of your message that, you know, advocates for us to take up space and, you know, be our true authentic selves, unfiltered, concentrated, you know, just to be our authentic selves and speak our truth. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leads me into the next question. Where did this come about? Like, how did you become this outspoken advocate for self-love, body positivity, mental health, being a Black woman in today's society, being a Jamaican Black woman? As you said, you wear a lot of hats. So how did you come into this outspoken influencer role?
I think for me, like, I've always been a big personality in the sense of like I was in school plays, I was the school president, I was like on every team, I played sports, I was in everything. So I've always been someone who was outspoken until I got to an age where I felt like I was being stifled and like my thoughts and who I wasn't allowed to be. And it really, really kind of messed with my mind and I kind of had to find my way out of it. And yeah. So basically, you know, it wasn't until I was maybe around 16, 17, 18, where I started to question my sexuality, question my beliefs and where I fit in growing mm-hmm. up with Jamaican Christian parents and very yeah. Christian parents. It wasn't until I felt like they were actually stifling me and kind of shutting me up based off of who I felt like I was coming into or trying to figure myself out, that I started mm-hmm. to really, really stir this pot of, well, who am I? Am I this person that, you know, lives based off of what they want me to be? Or am I actually going to really grab life by the bullhorns, as they say, and be unapologetic about who I am? Yeah. It never really sat well with me that mm-hmm. I was such a big person or a big personality. And then suddenly, like, as I was trying to evolve into my full self, mm-hmm. People were trying to tell me that I was wrong. I just didn't understand where that was. And it was a very painful time. But coming out of that, I was able to really just harness everything and kind of just realize that, no, like, my calling is to speak out about these things. My calling is to be open and authentic and to share these stories with people, because it'll help them really see that you're allowed. There's nothing wrong with being exactly who you are.
How did you push through when you decided, or when you started to feel that resistance from people around you, when you decided to come into your own? What was your why or your motivator that kept you going when people were like, you're too loud, you're too this, you're too that? You know, how did you keep going?
You know what? I just trusted, for me, I just trust that I trust my feelings. I trust how I feel on the inside. Yeah. You know, I'm going to probably bring this back a lot because it has a lot to do with a lot of how I learned myself. But growing up as a church kid or growing up in church, I remember being told that, like, I should silence my feelings. My feelings don't matter because it's just what God says right here in this book, right? But to me, like, that to me was interpretation in some way. I just felt as though, like, you know, I was constantly being told that I should kind of silence my feelings. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel right to me. Like, it didn't feel right. And I know it sounds crazy because it's like your pastor is telling you to silence your feelings and you're like, well, that doesn't feel right. And that's kind of like exactly what he's talking about. But the reason why I pushed past that was because I genuinely, genuinely feel in my heart of hearts that God did not give me or us intuition and our feelings mm-hmm. for us to not use them, have them, and allow them to help us sift through like what's real and what's not, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really, really became even heavily reliant on my feelings and how I felt, because I feel like they were important. And I felt as though my feelings really, really helped me get to where I am today. Yes. And if I had neglected them, I don't know that I would be here to help as many people as I do on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of just zeroed in on my feelings and how I felt. And that really, really did help me kind of push through, because yeah, they're valid. And a lot of the time people tell you that they're not valid, but they are, and they're there for a reason.
Yeah. I think it's so important that you mention your intuition, because a lot of the time people expect like some elaborate answer, and it really is just your intuition. It was a feeling. Mm-hmm. You might not even have been 100% on the decision when you decided to, you know, make certain decisions to push forward. Mm-hmm. Just that's what felt most correct to you in that moment, or most true, mm-hmm. Most in alignment with you in that moment. And I think it's important that we trust that, because when we're coming into our own, we might try to get seek validation from other people that we respect, or we feel are successful or arrived at a place where we should look to them in admiration or for advice. And they might try to sway us against, you know, coming into our own just because they don't believe that we really know or we're self-aware with what we have going on the inside, because that's your pastor. You know, it's important that you were strong-willed in that space to say, you know what, maybe I'm just going to trust my gut and see, try it out for myself and see how it works out, because that could have been, you know, the end of FOC and all that you are today had you decided not to, you know, be your most authentic self. Mm-hmm. As a result of, you know, creating your platform and the community that you have, I see you sharing the stories every day on social media of women that are thanking you, you know, for speaking your truth and allowing them to as well speak their own truth. Can you tell us like a specific story that maybe touched you the most, you know, that came about as a result of you creating your platform and, you know, being who you are today?
You know what? It's really, really hard to pinpoint one.
Okay.
Because over the years, like, I have tons of messages, screenshots, mail that, you know, sometimes I could be sitting there and literally just crying based off of the message that I got or received.
Yeah.
But I will give you one that as of recently, probably about 2 weeks ago, I got a message from a woman who said that after watching my video that I had posted on TikTok in regards to getting the courage and the strength to leave toxic relationships or whatever it may be, she said that she had finally decided to pick up her things and leave after 28 years of marriage and an abusive. Wow. And so this really resonated with me because it's like, this woman is many years my senior. And to know that I was, you know, putting up a video on TikTok, and maybe I was thinking that I was speaking to young women who are with, you know, their little boyfriends that are treating them like crap or whatever it may be. And even though I did know that I was speaking to more than just those women, I sometimes my mind doesn't wrap around the fact that I could be speaking to a 60-year-old woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could be speaking to a woman who just hasn't heard the words the way that I said them. Mm-hmm. And her hearing those words that way is what really allowed her to say, you know what, even at 60 years old, like, I have the strength to get up and choose myself, walk away from an abusive marriage, regardless of if I have kids or not. And, you know, just hearing or just reading her message of thanks and gratitude and just all of that, it really, really, really just touched me in a way, because it's kind of like a reminder. And I'm a spiritual person, I'm a God-fearing person, you know, I just felt like these are little ways that God kind of reminds me that you're on the right track.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your purpose is always bigger than you is how I like to look at it, especially when you feel like you need a boost. Sometimes people don't know that you might be depending on that message to get through the next day, to get up on your bed and record some content.
Yeah.
So it's a reciprocal type of relationship there. And I love the domino effect as well, because I love seeing people come into their own and create their own brands, their own communities, their own little niches just for themselves to empower others that are on a similar journey. Because we're more alike than we are different. It's like, there's so many niches at this point, so many different communities you can get in where you fit in, and, you know, realize that you don't have to tone down your authenticity or smooth out your rough edges to fit in, because there's a community just for you.
Exactly.
I think that's beautiful. Your purpose is always bigger than you.
Yes.
So this is a bit of a hot topic.
Okay.
Because I empathize and I resonate with it on a level. Because it happens when you evolve or when you shift or when you you grow and become a different version of yourself. People are surprised and they don't really know how to react to this new version of you. And they might say things along the lines of, how are you so confident? Or maybe like, how can I learn to love myself like you? So I say that it's a bit of a hot topic, because it can be offensive when people ask you, how are you so confident? You know, it's like, you know, why shouldn't I be? So I always interpret that as them, you know, kind of trying to get the 30-second answer as to how they can learn to love themselves like you do as well.
Yeah.
And you are an advocate for this. Mm-hmm. So what would your best advice be to this person when they ask, how are you so confident? The underlying issues there are, you know, low self-esteem, mm-hmm. You know, low confidence or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's being projected and worded that way. So, mm-hmm. so how would you speak to that person? And what would you advise them to do if somebody was to ask you that?
So I agree with you. It can come off a little offensive, and sometimes, mm-hmm. like, and I'll admit, like, I have always been okay with people asking the question because I know that that's my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. But I, as I grow, I do feel like we gotta reword that because it's basically just saying to someone that, like, I'm looking at you and you shouldn't be mm-hmm. confident, but you are. So please help me. Like,
yeah. And so that's the filter.
Yeah. It's all based off of what you think is beautiful and what you don't. Right. Mm-hmm. And why do you feel that certain things are beautiful and why don't you? So mm-hmm. it's really a process of unlearning. But what I would say to that person, and the one and only thing I would say to that person that's asking me, that is, you have to stop comparing yourself to other people.
Yes.
That is really, in and of itself, the key to it all.
Okay. You also dropped another bomb there when you said the unlearning. Mm-hmm. Because before you can even create that space where you're open to self-love, because, like, I know when people first start hearing about this stuff, they'll be like, yo, that's bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. you're telling me if I take a few bubble baths, I'm going to start just feeling like I'm on cloud nine. It does sound like horseshit, especially if you're not doing the actual work.
Yeah.
But before you can even be receptive to that message, you have to unlearn mm-hmm. All of that negative conditioning and those limiting beliefs that were placed on us. Growing up, you know, I have a few clients where they deal with the cultural issue of every time, even my own family, where you encounter some people and it's like, oh, you put on weight. That's the first thing they say when they encounter you. And it's like, if you hear that every single time, the first time you're around your family, the people you love, you have a lot of work to undo mm-hmm. On your subconscious mind, because that's maybe 25, 30 years of you mm-hmm. hearing that at every family function or whatever your weak point is, the issue that you feel like you have to work through. That's a lot of work that has to be undone, or lessons that have to be unlearned before you can begin to learn a new way of thinking.
Exactly.
I see sometimes people that say, like, affirmations don't work. And it's like, no, you're just trying to say the words and you haven't even gotten rid of all of that other stuff that's taking up space. So it's really a process. There is no short answer for it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I see people getting mad and they're like, what kind of advice is that? And it's like, I can't give it to you in two sentences.
It's a process. It's a process. And like you said, like, you've conditioned yourself to believe that you're not beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've done that over the course of for the most of us, many of us, our whole life, you know? So you going on Instagram and asking someone for the short answer, it just doesn't exist. You don't just wake up one day and you're like, I feel good. No, you have to unlearn what you think you know about beauty. And then you'll start to see things and other people differently. And for me, it's like one of the telltale signs for me about someone who is not yet at the level of self-love and confidence that mm-hmm. I feel is at a good place. Yeah. Are people who still stare at other people and have bad things to say about their appearance.
Yeah.
If you still are looking at other people and the first thing that comes to mind is everything that is wrong with them, you're still a very insecure person. Yeah. And you still need a lot of work. Because for me, it's been years of reconditioning myself to see myself as beautiful. You cannot tell me that I'm not beautiful. I actually believe and know and look in the mirror and see a very beautiful person. But I also see that in other people, right?
Yes.
So something, you know, someone, Tom might be like, oh my God, I hate the way that her hair is, or whatever it may be, or I don't like how her face is. But to me, mm-hmm. that does not look like, I am not seeing the same thing you're seeing. Like, I'm genuinely not seeing the same thing you're seeing, because my mind doesn't process information like that, and it doesn't see people that way. Mm-hmm. It looks for the best thing about someone that makes them unique. And to me, your uniqueness and the fact that you're one of one is all in all, like, mind-blowing to me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can, if you can train yourself over time to realize just how amazing each individual actually is, there's no way that you're going to be able to not do the same for yourself. It's just
100%, 100%.
It's a process, though.
I think you're speaking a lot to scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset, where it's like, if there's nothing, if you don't feel as if you are lacking anything on the inside, and I say on the inside because how we react on the outside is a reflection of how we feel on the inside. So if you feel you're lacking nothing on the inside, you have no need to go and attack somebody or have what they have or grudge what they have in your own life. So that's one of the benefits of self-love that people don't realize. Like, you're doing this for you, but it's also going to make your life easier. Yeah. Oh, it's going to make your life easier and remove a lot of that unnecessary hatred, envy, negativity, grudgefulness, making up words here. But all, like, you get where I'm going with this, that bad mind, like, you, all of it is eliminated tonight. Because it's like, I am who I am, who I am, and I love who I am. Mm-hmm. And you are who you are, who you are, and I can accept you as you are because you accept yourself. It's a beautiful process.
It is.
When you get to the end, in the middle of it, like, when you're confronting yourself and saying, yo, why did I just call that girl ugly? Mm-hmm. You know, why do I hate her?
Yeah.
Why do I really hate him?
Right. You
know, and where is this coming from? That's ugly. That part's ugly. I'm not gonna lie. That part's ugly.
Yeah.
You're like, damn. But I didn't know that I had those feelings.
Yeah. It's so worth it though. It's so worth it.
I agree. Okay, so with this process of coming into yourself and coming into your own, you can encounter a few people that, like we spoke to earlier, are resistant with your journey. And not only that, your strong stances in life, because, you know, they might not have the balls. They might not have the ability to be as vocal on their opinions and their stances on life. So they might dislike you. That might come across or show up as them disliking you when they're really just fearing who you are. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with not being liked and not being everyone's favorite? Do you have a desire to be normal and fit into boxes at any point in time?
You know what? So the first question is,
how do you deal with not being liked, being your true self? That's something that can happen.
You know what? I'm currently trying to handle and maneuver through that. Because it's a very new experience for me, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I ever really yearned for people to like me. It was just normal that people did. You know what I mean? I just was never someone that people didn't like, you know? And I never thought about that stuff, like, because it was just normal for everybody to, for us all to be cool. Mm-hmm. And so now, as I've grown in my career, I'm definitely starting to experience the people who don't like me, mm-hmm. or, you know, the people who, you know, I don't know.
Disagree at times,
Disagree or whatever it may be. And honestly, I can't even, I would be lying if I told you that I have one way of dealing with it. Most times I peep the flex and I just keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what I'm trying more and more now to do is pray for them. You know, it's a challenging thing in the moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I love feeling that grit and that challenge within myself, because I know that's a sweet spot where growth is, right?
Yes.
So right where in that little nugget where I'm like, hell no, I'm not praying for this.
If
I can push past that and still let go of my ego and pray for that person in that moment, that is where the growth is. And that is a place where a lot of people can't find themselves. And so I'm grateful enough to know that I'm able to bring myself there. I'm able to work through that. And it honestly relieves you of the stress of low-key now having a beef with this person, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they are left with whatever they have to deal with, but you've released yourself in that moment by, you know, giving them to God. And so that's really what I do. That's really what I just push and try to do. It sounds corny, it sounds cheesy, but that's literally all that I can do, because one thing I'm not going to do is be out here going back and forth with you. Because you know, I have way too much, my calling is way too grand for me to be going back and forth with someone who is insecure about the fact that I am who I am. You know, I can't help you with that. Only God can help you with that.
I feel like even doing the back and forth thing is just me leaking my power, because it's like, sometimes you're not really worth the conversation. You're not worth my energy right now. Like, I know myself, and I know that certain things might trigger me or get me heated, or have me just expelling energy that I don't even have to give in the first place. So I always look at it like, is this worth my energy? Like, what is going to come of this? And then also remembering why you started in the first place, like this, your calling and your purpose is bigger than this. You can't sacrifice it, you know, getting thrown off course for every single barking dog or every single person who doesn't agree with your calling on your life and your vision. So I think that it's critical. I had to ask you that question just because you deal with it on such a larger scale. I'll be on Daddy's Kitchen on the YouTube page, and I'm like, holy shit, like, people have something to say here, and then I'll go on YouTube, and I'll be on your Instagram, and then, you know, there might be odd comments, and we're on Twitter and that sort of thing. And I always have, you know, most of my clients have aspirations of their own, and they always wonder how to deal with it. And it's like, once you have like 6 platforms, you better make sure your emotional intelligence is all the way together. because you will just every day, every 5 minutes will be, I'm done. I quit. I give up.
Yeah. People say, and that's why there's some people who are cut out for it and some people who are not. Because when I saw online constantly arguing with people, I was like, girl, you better go get you another type of job, because people are going to talk, you know, as the Jamaicans say, people cross with a fit chat. Okay.
And you're gonna drop a one thing for us,
you know. Like, you know, they're gonna chat. That's what their mouth is cut like so for. Like, that's what it's there for, you know. So just let people say what they have to say. It's how you deal with it, you know.
Awesome. So it sounds like you are super self-aware, like most of my guests are. I feel like for us to even be at a place where we're able to excel and critique and move forward and progress consistently, you have to constantly be self-checking and be self-aware with what's going on the inside. How am I reacting to things? How am I conducting myself? You know, so do you have a specific practice? We're coming to the end of the podcast. I just want to know if you have a specific practice that you can leave with the ladies for them to self-check. I love the one where you mentioned if you're still critiquing people's appearances, that's how you know that you're still struggling with insecurity, because that is a major key. When I meet a new friend or I'm dating, if like all you have to say is negative things about people that you don't even know, that's like a major red flag. So I love that you mentioned that activity. Is there something else, maybe journaling, a specific activity that you encourage women to go through to try to either see where they are in terms of their confidence and their self-esteem, or something they can do to rebuild their confidence or self-esteem, something that maybe you've tried that worked really well?
Something, you know, it could be a bunch of things, like indulging in like your actual like body health. And a lot of us don't know anything about our vagina.
Good one. Like,
that to me is a whole world of it's just a whole world that we were not taught. Like, we were not taught the ins and outs of how, like, everything having to do with our vaginal health. And honestly, and how it affects us on a day-to-day basis, how it affects our self-esteem, etc., all these types of things. And I feel like once I started to really dig into learning my body, like actually learning my body, I just felt different about just me as a woman, you know. I just started to appreciate myself more, and it gets a little fun, because then you start to realize, you know, like this type of, you know, these type of products are good for me, these type of vitamins help me, you know, feel this way, or, you know, I'm noticing that I used to have this type of odor, I don't have it anymore. Like, you would be surprised how much that actually puts some pep in your step. You walk different when you know that your coochie is on and popping, okay? And a lot of
I believe you.
You know, and a lot of women, like, there's so much shame in, like, little things that we experience because of how we were brought up. We weren't brought up to know all of these things about ourselves. And, you know, we shame each other in school, like, growing up, you know, little comments about, oh, she smells like this or she smells like that. And then that's the thing, growing up and being around older women who you still do smell those things on, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a testament to the fact that we're unaware of, like, how our body is trying to tell us certain things. And I feel like deep diving into that type of health for yourself and self and self-care can really change the way that you see yourself. And it takes time, so it'll, you know, take your time away from comparing yourself to other people. Yes. Which is, like, my number one rule. Like, you gotta get into the habit of not comparing yourself to anyone. Like, you're not here to be compared to anyone other than yourself. You know, you just want to compare yourself to your old self. Are you better than you were yesterday? And that's the key. That's really the key, because if you're wasting time comparing yourself to other people, you're literally wasting your life. Because you're never, ever going to be Samantha. Samantha's never, ever going to be you. No matter what you do, whether you nip it, whether you tuck it, whether you work it out, whether you whatever, you're never, ever going to be like this person. And you're always going to be down and out and upset and sad on the inside because you're going after something that's unrealistic, right? But yeah. And then another thing for me too, I mean, it kind of might not be 100% in line with what you had asked, but... just asking yourself in everything that you're doing, for me personally, this is what I do and this is what I try to get my family to do, is whenever you're speaking to someone, whether it be a family member, whether it be a random person, whether you're speaking to someone or doing something, ask yourself before you say it or do it, am I doing this out of love?
Beautiful.
Am I doing this out of love? Am I saying this out of love? If I say to this person, will they feel the love that I'm trying to give them? Or will it be something? If the answer is anything but yes right away, then you need to pull it back. You need to rethink it. And you need to challenge yourself to try another approach. Because a lot of the messed up crap that's happening to us in the world today is simply because we are not moving in love. We feel like we're the most brilliant creatures, and we're trying to convince everybody that we have the ability to recondition our minds and but we never, ever, ever, ever really tap into the fact that we're able to condition ourselves to love. That's one thing that somehow we're not able to really grasp. And we are, but we're not doing it. And so I feel like if we can all really just try and everything, whether you're at the gas station, whether you're speaking to your father, your mother, your ex, the father of your child, try it. Just try to ask yourself before you do it, am I doing this out of love? And I'm telling you, it improves your life and the people's around you's life so much. And not everybody will receive it. I'm not saying that everybody is going to be like, oh, yes, I love you back. Some people don't know how to receive love, right? Because they're hurting. But at the same time, like, it changes the conversation. It just changes the conversation. And I feel like it can help your life and everyone else's. So that's my little nugget.
I love the two of those in combination, because I feel like the second one is a byproduct of the first. As a result of you learning to love yourself and becoming more aware of who you are, well, I first believe it begins with awareness and knowing who you are and learning to love those things about yourself and the unique quirks about yourself and the things that make you you. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, you begin to love yourself more. And then because you're full of that, that's all that you exude. Mm-hmm. When you're lacking that on the inside, it can be hard to recognize love. It can be hard to receive love. Yeah. It can be hard to resonate with, like, you'll just self-sabotage and just push it away. Yeah. And as a result, your life won't really have much of that in abundance for you to give. So it's like this shitty cycle until you begin to actually really pour into yourself and truly do the work. Yep. So you actually feel fulfilled, not look fulfilled, post pictures that look like you are fulfilled, but truly are fulfilled on the inside. That's all that you have to give. And and how it's received isn't on you, and you also realize that that isn't your problem. Exactly. That isn't your burden for you to deal with. It's just, okay, I'm moving with love because this is what makes me feel good, and this is the vibration that I want to stay in, and this is the energy I want to be in, so this is how I'm moving. And as a result, your life kind of just elevates and things kind of come together in alignment for you, just because that's how you choose to move, because it's a choice. Every day is challenging. It is a challenging time that we live in, especially this pandemic, where it's like everybody's dealing with something. People are projecting. People are struggling with things alone, one-on-one, have nobody to vent to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's you consistently choosing to move with love. Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice for, you know, working on yourself, working on community, working on your relationships, and, you know, your mindset all around. So I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Anytime.
I love your message and what you stand for. And I think that it's amazing how many women you've touched, women and men. I remember seeing a man in was plus size, and I forgot what the post was specifically, but he was like, "You made me feel sexy." And I was like, "Look at that! Like, look at that!" So I'm here for the domino effect. I'm here for us taking up space and being our authentic selves, and then, you know, creating a wave of other women, you know, just being their true selves and not apologizing for who they are, because it's so much easier just to be yourself. Like, so much easier.
So much easier.
Yeah, so I want to thank you for your time tonight. I want to, wish you all the best on the FOC collection. I will definitely hyperlink everything for everybody to connect with you afterwards. You just drop some of your social media handles. If the people don't know you, I doubt it highly, but like, if the people don't know you, where can they find you online?
They can find me at Flaws of Couture on pretty much anything and everywhere. If you want food, Daddy's Kitchen is my dad. So you can definitely go and learn how to cook some food during this pandemic. But Flaws of Couture everywhere.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and have yourself a great night. Thanks, guys, for listening. I hope that you learned something here, something that you can apply into your own lives to hopefully, you know, upgrade your self-love game during this pandemic. I wish you guys all the best. Remember to refill your cup first. Thank you so much.
As always, the work doesn't end here. Remember to apply the gems you picked up, because the magic truly is in the doing. You've got this globe thing under control. Maddox is Maddox. Until next time.